Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We've been talking this week about fruitfulness versus unfruitfulness in the Christian life. We know from the Word of God that God's intention and desire for each one of us is that we bear much fruit. Jesus said in John 15:8, "When you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and you prove yourselves to be true followers of mine." However, we see even in the church and in the body of Christ, many Christians who struggle and seem to have no fruit in their lives, even though perhaps they attend church and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is not a lot of fruitfulness in their life. You could say they're barren or without fruit. They don't have fruitfulness in their relationships or in their work or with their children or in their marriage or in their spiritual life. They seem to continuously be struggling and never making progress in their spiritual life. Why is that? I want to share with you today a primary reason for unfruitfulness, a key cause of unfruitfulness, even among those who claim the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We find this story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and it is the story of King David and how when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of David, how he danced before the Lord. And I'm going to read from verse 14. "And David danced before the Lord with all his might and clad in a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord, and they set it in its place inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both to men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, each to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and his wife, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who stripped himself of his kingly robes and uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants' maids, as one of the worthless fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.' David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. Therefore will I make merry in pure enjoyment before the Lord. I will be still more lightly esteemed than this and will humble and lower myself in my own sight. But by the maids you mentioned, I will be held in honor.' And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death." It says there in that final verse of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel that Michal, the daughter of Saul, was barren, fruitless, without fruit, never bore a child until the day of her death. I want to talk to you today about a key reason why many people in the body of Christ, they're unfruitful in their lives. God shows us a key here in this story. Michal, the daughter of Saul, it says, despised David in her heart when she saw him dancing before the Lord. She criticized him. She judged him. Her attitude toward him was one of critical spirit and a judgmental spirit. And she spewed that critical spirit out of her mouth when she said to David how he shamelessly uncovered himself like one of the worthless fellows when he was out dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, before the Lord. This issue of a critical spirit or judgmental spirit is a very important and a very tragic reason that many people who call themselves Christians do not have fruit in their lives, or the fruitfulness that perhaps they once had has been cut off. A definite cause of fruitlessness or barrenness in a person's life is this critical or judgmental spirit. The word of the Lord is very clear on this and warns us solemnly against this sin of judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, we find the well-known verse, and this is from the Amplified Translation, where it says, "Do not judge, criticize, or condemn others, so that you may not be judged or criticized and condemned yourself. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out against you. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that's in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that's in your own eye? Or can you say to your brother, 'Let me get that tiny particle out of your eye,' when there's a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye." In the Message translation, it reads this way: "Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. The critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, 'Let me wash your face for you,' when your own face is distorted with contempt?" The Lord is very serious about this issue of judgment. Jesus said about himself that he didn't come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He who has perfect judgment wouldn't even raise his own standard and say, "I judge this situation or that situation or this person or that." He said, "I won't do it. I won't judge the world. I came to save it." And that's a key for us. Jesus, who had the ability and the right to make a judgment about people, would not lift a finger to judge others because he kept his purpose very clear. "I came to save the world." And we are to be in the world as Jesus, people who come bringing the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go, not the stench of judgment to people who don't meet our standards or who don't meet what we think is God's standard. And we judge and criticize and condemn them, whether they're unbelievers or people in the body of Christ. There is a rampant sin in the camp of judging other Christians, and it is a great sorrow to the heart of God. The scripture says in Romans 2:1, Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." God does not want us judging other believers, other Christians, or even non-believers. We are to leave that business to God himself, who is the righteous judge. Our judgment is never perfect. We always see through a glass darkly, and yet it's common deception and used as an excuse to judge others or to enter into the sin of judgment, thinking that our judgment is quite accurate, and yet it's quite inaccurate. We do not see perfectly. We see through the glass darkly. Francis Frangipane, in his book Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God, said it very well when he said, "To judge after the flesh requires but two eyes and a carnal mind." God doesn't want us walking in the flesh, judging people left and right. We are to leave that to God. Our call above all else is to love God with all of our heart and all of our strength, and to love others as ourselves. We are to walk in love, not in judgment. Are you struggling in your life with the spirit of judgment or criticism? It'll steal your fruitfulness. It will rob you of your fruit. It doesn't matter if you've memorized great portions of Scripture, attend every prayer meeting at your church, and listened to every special speaker that comes to town. If you have a spirit of judgment or criticism and easily criticize or judge or condemn other people with your lips or in your mind, your fruitfulness will be robbed from you. The Lord is very adamant about the seriousness of criticizing leaders. In Psalm 105:15, it says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." That's God's standards, and yet many Christians find it very easy to criticize their pastor or other pastors, other church leaders in the body of Christ, and determine that they aren't doing things the way they should be doing. Do you remember that Miriam received swift judgment from God when she criticized her own brother Moses? She received a judgment of leprosy, and it was immediate. God asked her why she was not afraid to speak against his servant. Criticism of leaders is wrong in the eyes of God. Criticism of government leaders, which is another common practice in American culture, is also denounced in Scripture in Titus 3 and in 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't become a partner with the enemy of your soul or with the enemy of the accuser of the brethren by judging other believers. The very act of fault-finding among the brethren births a house divided against itself which cannot stand. Understand, that's a plot of the enemy, Satan, to attempt to divide and thereby immobilize the church from having any impact in the last days. Don't be deceived. If you are speaking critical words about other believers, you are in agreement with the enemy of your soul, and you're also in grave spiritual danger. Pray with me right now. Father, forgive me for criticizing, condemning, and judging other people, other Christian leaders, other believers, and even governmental leaders. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me right now. Help me to walk in love today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all the time we have. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.